Welcome once again to the messages of Cornerstone Anglican Church. God is just waiting for us to turn him loose on the world. In this episode, Pastor Andrew shows us what can happen when we do that.
So we have this sequel this morning from Acts to the conversion of the household of Cornelius, who was a centurion in the Roman army. And he was a devout man. He basically supported the Jewish community, gave alms, and was a great man of prayer. And so one day as he was praying, an angel appeared to him and said, "O great man, your alms and your prayers have risen as a memorial to God." And the angel instructed Cornelius to send for a man named Peter, who was at Joppa, and to invite him to his household. So meanwhile, Peter is in Joppa and they're preparing dinner. And so he went up to the rooftop to just meditate for a bit. And as he was doing that, he has a vision. And in this vision, a sheet came down from heaven and had all these different sorts of animals and birds and reptiles. And God said, "Get up, Peter, and eat." Now, obviously, he was hungry because he was waiting for dinner. But he says, "Lord, no, I've never eaten anything unclean." And God says to him, "Do not call impure or unclean anything that I have cleansed." And this vision occurred three times. As I was saying last week, God reminds Peter that he denied him three times. And he doesn't let him forget. And so major points in directing Peter's life and ministry, God reminds him. So he does this three times. And then instructs Peter to go with three men who are appearing at his door to the house of Cornelius. And so there at Cornelius' house, he preaches the gospel. And while he's preaching, and before he could really get into his sermon, the Holy Spirit fell on the whole household of Cornelius. And they began praising God in tongues. So what we find in our reading today is Peter is now back in Jerusalem. And he is before the Christian council. And he's now on the carpet for what he did in Cornelius' house. Now, the first thing that passage says, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. Now, this is an incredible statement. Because in the Jewish mind, the Gentiles were always excluded. Yes, they could become Jewish proselytes, which meant that to a certain extent they were allowed to participate in Jewish activities, but to a limited extent. But here, the Gentiles had received the word of God, the same word that the Jewish Christians themselves had received from Jesus and from the apostles. And there's this sense of inclusion, not exclusion. That all of a sudden God has handed out what he had given to his own people the Jewish nation, is now handed out beyond anything that they could have imagined. And what I like about that statement is that the Gentiles had received. Sometimes when we think about outreach and reaching out to people, we don't really get a sense that, hey, they need to receive, they need to hear. Because if they don't hear, how can they respond? Now, I know we're used to people not responding or not liking what we say, but there is a bunch of people out there who are just waiting to hear. And when they hear, they're going to receive the good news of the kingdom of God. And what is that good news? That in Jesus Christ, God has come. That Jesus, the living Son of God, had taken human form, had walked this planet in Palestine, had died on a cross, and risen from the dead. And he did that so that we could be redeemed, that we could be made right with God, and that our sins would be forgiven. And unless we take that message out, they can't receive. They can receive other things from us, but what they can't receive is the Word of God, unless it's the Word of God we take out to give to them. Often we see such meager results from our outreach that we don't quite understand just how powerful the gospel is when it's received. It's not just taken on board by one person, but it's taken on board and expands and spreads out. And Jesus tells a number of parables that describe this. The yeast that leavens, the smallest mustard seed producing an enormous tree. And time again, he wants us to understand the powerhouse of the seed of the gospel. As we hand it out to somebody, the results might be just unbelievable and will astound us. The days I was working in King's Cross, at midnight, when I had some money, I would go and buy a pizza. And I'd just come back with my pizza this night. And one of the teams said, oh, there's a young man who wants to see you. And I said, anyone who wants to see me tonight has to eat pizza. So I took this young guy out to the kitchen and we sat around the table eating pizza. Now, time is getting on. It's beyond midnight. And he said, my brother is a drug addict. My elder brother had been a drug addict too, and he'd gone to Teen Challenge in Brisbane and had been cleansed and converted and all that. And my parents want you to come and see my other brother who's on drugs. And I said, when? He said, now. I said, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, they're waiting for you. So off we go to their family home. And so mum and dad are waiting in the kitchen for us. We have a cup of coffee. They tell me the problem. And the brother is outside. So I wander outside to talk to the brother that's on drugs. And he wasn't interested. He just loved his drugs. He says, I'm not addicted. I'm in control of my habit. He says, I had a vision of Jesus, and he told me it was all okay. And I said, well, I'm not sure that you actually had a vision of the right Jesus. But I was getting nowhere. So I went back into the family and headed back to the center. The next night, this young guy, the brother who'd come to see me, was back in the center and being converted by our team and prayed for and he came to Christ. Really came to Christ. He went home and told mum and dad, and they came to Christ. They rang up the uncles and the aunts, and they came to Christ, and the cousins and others. I think in that week we added 20 people from that family to the North Sydney AOG Church. That little seed of the gospel is so powerful when it's received. But Peter understood when he went to Cornelius' house that God just might pull a rabbit out of the hat. That God might just do something unusual with these Gentiles. So he took 6 witnesses. Definitely didn't go by himself. Whether he took them for protection, or whether he took them and thought, okay, if God pulls a rabbit out of the hat, I'm on the carpet when we get back to Jerusalem. And lo and behold, in our story, there he is on the carpet. So when he went back to Jerusalem, the circumcision party, the Christian believers who still believed that circumcision was the real sign of being a man of God. And the circumcision party believers contended with him and criticized him. They are smart cookies. They're not going to criticize him on preaching the gospel. I mean, they're all doing that. No, they were going to get him where the rubber hit the road, and that is that you went and you ate with Gentiles, which is a no-no for the Jewish people. Familiarity you don't get into with Gentiles. And in fact, this contention of the circumcision party continues into the letters of Paul. You read in Galatians. And Paul notes that at one point, Peter and Barnabas and the other disciples were led astray when men from James turned up in Antioch, where they were staying and preaching and mixing with the Gentiles and eating with them. Now, James was the head of the Christian church, Jerusalem. And Peter and the other disciples, the other Jewish disciples, withdrew from the dinner table. And Paul really takes them to task over it. That you would reject our Christian Gentile brothers and sisters in such a way. So the party of the circumcision that will get him on the basis that he breached one of the cardinal rules, he went and ate with the Gentiles. And then Peter lays it out, blow by blow, item by item, issue by issue. And he says this, so if God gave them the same gift that he gave to us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? That really lays it back on me. If God was doing this, I'm in. Who was I to stand in the way of God? And you know, sometimes we do. We stand in the way of God. We want to hold God back when he wants to get loose. Do you realize that? We want to hold God down. We don't want God to get too excitable. Remember the disciples of Pentecost? Where were they? They were hiding in the upper room. They weren't out and about. They were waiting, obviously, as instructed. But what they really wanted is to the Holy Spirit to come in a quiet and gentle and orderly manner. Empower them in an orderly way. Instead, there's a mighty wind and the Holy Spirit bursts through the doors and they are pushed out into the streets and they have flames of fire in their head and they start speaking in other tongues, and the crowds are surrounding them while they are just drunk in the Spirit, as described by Luke. That wasn't a quiet affair. And so when God bursts forth in the midst of his people, it's not often as orderly as we would like him to be. And so sometimes we want to hold him down, hold him back. But when God explodes in our midst as a church, when his gospel is received, that's exactly what happens. Part of our heart thinks, just bring it on, Lord. I would just love to see it. The other part's terrified of what that means. So how do we let God loose? We do what he asks us to do, even if it seems really weird. Even if we were really going to advise God, we could think, Lord, that's not going to work, whatever he might be. You see, God has appointments for us. There are people he just wants us to talk to. You don't have to do anything, really, except turn up. To be where God wants you to be when he wants you to be there. You may not get a vision like Peter, but God has a way of letting us know where he wants us to be. And sometimes it could just simply be an invitation from somebody. And sometimes an invitation you would normally say no to. But you have this nudge from the Holy Spirit. You ought to get there for this one. And something you've turned down time and time again, this time it's different. This time, you need to be there. And so Peter goes to the house of Cornelius and encounters an outworking of God where God just let loose amongst the Gentiles. It was the first one. It wasn't the last time God did this. So, as I was reflecting through this, it struck me that we have in the book of the prophet Daniel a reason why there's often a delay. And in Daniel 10, it notes that Daniel was mourning for the nation. Now, Daniel at this point is in a place called Babylon, where the majority of the Israelite people, the Jews, had been taken when Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. And he was grieving for his people. Now, he was a high official amongst the Babylonian hierarchy, one of the many Jewish men that were elevated to those positions. But he grieved for the nation, and he went seeking God for 3 weeks, getting no sense that God was hearing, or that God would answer, or that God would do anything. And then one day, there appears an angel to him. He says, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with gold of Uphaz. And he goes on to describe him further. This is the archangel Gabriel. And Gabriel finally says to Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. So I want you to know that when you go to prayer, God hears you. Finally, he says, and because of the words, I've come. Gabriel goes on to say and give the reason why he was delayed. the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia and came to make you understand what is to befall your people in the latter days. For the vision is of days to come. So Gabriel brought an answer from God, not necessarily the answer Daniel was looking for. And Daniel is one of those books that has been sealed to be revealed at the end times at the appropriate time. So let us rejoice that when our people of expectation receive the word of God, we're going to see an explosion from God. To be people who are simply available to be where God wants us to be. Now, that's not checking every moment of your life. No, no. When you get the nudge, when you get a sense, I'm not sure I want to go there, I really need to be there, then you turn up. And just see what God might do. It may not be the time, but you never know when it might be that one point in time where heaven and earth meet in an incredibly dramatic way. Let us pray. Father God, we often ignore some of the nudges you give us. Whether we're too busy, we're afraid. Help us have a willing spirit, a willingness to be available to you anytime, any place that you want to arrange appointments for us. Give us the words of your gospel in such a way that when we share, they will break through the hardness of hearts and bring people to you. Anoint us with your spirit, that those words we speak to the people we speak will be powerful in effect. And let love show through. Give us an overwhelming love for the lost, for those who do not know you, and those who are waiting to hear. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to hear more great messages from Pastor Andrew, check out our Facebook page or look us up on the net at cornerstone-church.com.au.